Greetings from Orange County, California. This is Coaching for Leaders, and I'm your host, Dave Stachowiak. This is a weekly coaching show to help people be better leaders through improved communications, human relations, and personal productivity. And I'm thrilled to begin a 3-episode series here leading up to episode number 100 in just a few weeks on how to reinvent yourself. I have been getting I've gotten a bunch of emails from listeners in the last month or two, and I've been noticing this two-word term showing up in a lot of emails, and that two-word term is reinvent myself. A number of people have talked about the need to reinvent myself right now. And so I wanted to begin this 3-episode series by looking at our careers and what we can do to reinvent ourselves in our careers, and 3 lenses to look through that on. And for the next 3 episodes, I'll be looking at this topic of reinventing ourselves. And I've called up a couple of my friends who are coaches and have a lot of experience reinventing themselves and others, who are able to provide a lot of wonderful perspective here. And my guest today is Donna Schilder, and she is someone who's done a lot of career coaching over the years, and she's also reinvented herself a whole lot over the years very successfully. And so I am really looking forward to talking with her and sharing this conversation with you on ways we can look at how to reinvent ourselves too. Let's go ahead and jump in here to my interview with Donna Schilder. Donna is a leadership and career coach and is certified through the International Coach Federation as a master certified coach. She has been advising executives for over 20 years and works to help them to access their authentic power and influence. And she's also dedicated to helping leaders find their unique and fulfilling career path. I first met Donna about, what was it, about 6, 7, 8 years ago, I guess?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and I first talked with Donna. We had a mutual friend, and we got talking about coaching, and at the time we were putting together a Dale Carnegie coaching program, and Donna was one of the coaches that was working with us and just did a fantastic job with our clients. Just fantastic with interacting with people, and just has a wonderful heart, as you'll hear on this call. And for a whole bunch of reasons, we decided not to continue to do a Dale Carnegie coaching program for long term. But Don and I have kept in touch and continue to talk over the years and have become friends. And when I was thinking about this topic today, I wanted to get Donna's input because she's someone that's just done a lot of wonderful work with people on helping them to design the careers they want. So Donna, I am so glad that you were able to join me. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And of course, it's always lovely to talk to you. And just am excited to be able to share some information that will be helpful to your listeners.
Oh, me too. And you know, this topic of reinventing ourselves is something that's come up a lot with members of the Coaching for Leaders community in the recent past. And I've had a number of listeners who have emailed me in the last few months and said, you know, I'm working on reinventing myself. And for every person, that means something a little bit different. But I think for all of us, it means making an educated choice on how we're reinventing ourselves and what we're doing in our careers and how we're working and how we're living. And so I thought maybe we'd start off just by talking about, you know, what are some different ways that a person might think about reinventing themselves, or might be thinking about when they're using that language, reinventing themselves?
Well, I believe that it's smart to look around you first. So, you know, if you're feeling sort of out of whack, you're seeing a change in your industry, you're feeling like you don't have meaning anymore, you're burnt out, you need less stress, you know, the first place to look is just right around you and to see if you can shape the job you're in and kind of change that a little bit. You know, the next place would be to look in your industry and then to look outside your industry. Whenever you're making an industry change, then there's a lot of more work that goes into that, and it's a lot harder to do.
And sometimes people make the choice, I know, Donna, where they think they need to change a whole bunch of things. And really, that's not the source of the issue for them, or that's not really the thing that's causing them that stress of needing to reinvent themselves.
Yeah, sometimes people can just make a small change and it will make a huge difference in how they're feeling about their life. I had one client once that all we did was help her take a 5-minute break twice a day, and she would play some kind of crazy video game and then go back to work, and suddenly she felt completely different. So,
oh, wow.
Sometimes it's a really tiny change, and sometimes it's just you have one task in your job that you don't like to do, and you really could just delegate that. And by delegate, it doesn't always have to be to your staff. It could be to your boss even, or to one of your colleagues, or make it into a game, or find a new way of doing it. Sometimes, you know, what's making you not as satisfied could be just one person that you're working with, and finding a way to get away from that person, or finding strategies to deal with that person can make a really big difference. I have a client right now that we finally figured out that she was really happy in the work she was doing. She was really happy with her staff, very happy in the work environment, liked the size of the company, and it really just was her boss.
Mm.
I know this is a common problem, but with her just finding out that her boss was a narcissist and really understanding what that meant and that he couldn't help it, you know, he couldn't change, he wasn't, you know, capable of being any better, that sort of allowed her to accept more.
Oh, interesting.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, so it sounds like part of this process is examining and analyzing what's going on, not only internally, but what's going around you in your environment, so you get a sense of maybe what's causing that feeling of needing to make a change or needing to, quote-unquote, reinvent oneself.
And when you do that and you really understand what it is that needs to change, then it becomes a lot easier to make a plan to change it.
Ah, okay. So one of the things we talked about in doing some planning for our conversation was these three areas on where we can look and kind of analyze things in our environment. And we talked about work style and environment and lifestyle. And so I thought it might be good to define these up front and just, you know, look at what do you mean by work style?
Yeah. And I'll say that all three of these things impact our happiness. The first one, work style, really is what kind of style does your work require from you? Are you able to do a lot of collaboration in your work, or is it very individual?
Mm-hmm.
An example in the medical field would be if, you know, you could be a nurse, but if you work in an ER, it's very collaborative. But if you work as a quality assurance nurse in a insurance company, you may have very individual work. And most of your day is really work where you work individually. Another example of work style is some jobs require a lot of variety, and so you get to do a lot of different things. And some types of jobs are more the same, you know, all day, every day. So, for example, to me, I think of an office manager as kind of a jack of all trades. And so an office manager has a lot of variety in their work.
Mm-hmm.
But an accounting supervisor may have sort of a narrower band of types of different tasks. And so some people really need variety, and some people are uncomfortable with variety. I just find each person is different.
Well, and the nursing example you gave, Donna, is really profound because it's the same training, at least initially, the same training and same type of career, but the types of work that the person in the ER versus the person working for an insurance company would do is really, really very different as far as what the work environment looks like.
Absolutely. And in most areas and most types of careers, there are choices within that that are very different. I mean, you could be a human resources person, and if you're doing employee relations, that's really different, more conflict-based, more people-based than, say, doing benefits work, where you interact with people some of your job, maybe 25% of your job, but a lot of it is really paperwork-oriented.
Interesting. So how does that different than environment, when you're thinking about environment, how does work style differ than that?
Yeah, the environment is more not having to do with the work you're doing, but how that company or organization, sort of what that environment is. So, for example, you could be very office-bound or you could be out in the field. So, again, an example where it's the same field and almost the same job is outside sales versus inside sales.
Yes.
You know, outside sales, you're going to be out calling on people and you're not going to be in the office. You're not going to be sitting at the desk. And inside, you're going to be on the phone. And that's a very different work environment.
And then,
and I have a few other examples that I think are kind of interesting.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Sitting all day versus moving around. This seems to be a really big one. Some people just can't sit at a desk all day. And, you know, they really need to be moving around. And other people are really comfortable sitting. And even, like, I think of my husband, he is a consultant, and when he's doing manufacturing consulting, he's on the line, and he's working, and he's, you know, going and looking at the manufacturing line and moving around a lot. And then when he's doing IT consulting or more SAP-type consulting, he's at his desk more. So that would be an example of more work environment rather than the actual, you know, type of work or style of work that you do.
Oh, interesting. And so I think part of this too is not just thinking about this from our own perspective as leaders and our work environments, but also doing some thinking about this from the standpoint of the people who are working with us and working for us too, because many of us have people on our teams that are in different, have different environments that they work in, and maybe doing some thinking about, is that the right fit for the right person as far as the types of work that they're, not only the work style, but their environment too.
And that's going to really impact productivity. And so if you can either ask your people and find out where they feel most productive and where they feel most comfortable and, you know, work to match that, you're going to get better productivity out of them. A really interesting example that you hear about a lot is working in a cubicle versus working in open space technology. And the example that comes to mind is, you know, open space technology, Yahoo. You know, we think of, you know, they're trying to create a very collaborative environment. And so, you know, the office is very open and people are very, you know, it's very easy for them to gather and to interact. And the example that I think of, that I think, Dave, will resonate for you is a company like an aerospace company like Northrop, where, you know, you're always in a cubicle. And there's very, you know, and there's reasons for that. But, you know, there's security issues and, you know, there's a lot more sort of detailed paperwork kind of work going on there. And so, you know, that's the environment. And, you know, different people are going to thrive in different kinds of environment with regard to just, you know, the actual desk situation.
So the one we haven't talked about yet is lifestyle. So how does that fit into the other two, and also how is it distinct?
Lifestyle, it really, depending on where you work, it's going to impact your lifestyle differently. And that's very different than work style or work environment. Lifestyle characteristics that are impacted by your work are you able to work close to home or have a long commute? And oftentimes people will sacrifice maybe making a little less money so they don't have to drive farther. I have a client right now that really wants to work in a small town. She lives in a bigger city, and one of the types of work she's actually thought about doing is forestry, but forestry work is not really even in a small town. It's really isolated. So, you know, the type of work you choose really impacts the life you get to live, whether you're living, you know, out in a cabin in the forest or in a small town where it's not congested, or a big city where, you know, there's lots of traffic.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you know, another really big one is, you know, how many hours a week do you have to work? And some jobs require lots and lots of hours, and some jobs you're done in 40 hours. So those are the kinds of lifestyle issues that impact what career you choose, and also even within that, which company you work for.
And that just becomes so important to so many of us, Donna. And I think about it now, having, you know, Bonnie and I having Luke, who's 17 months old, the